Welcome to the Mindset Evolution podcast, powered by Self-Recoding, world-class consulting and coaching services that you can access at selfrecoding.com. Self-Recoding is a unique blend of neurohealing modalities that will empower you to reach your full potential. Join thousands of others who have experienced rapid results in their journey of personal growth. Now enjoy our show where we bring you tools for a powerful mind with your hosts, Kathy Tate and Daisy Papp.
And hello everybody and welcome to another episode of Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution, the podcast that gives you tools for a powerful mind. I am Kathy Tate, your host from Australia. With us, as always, Daisy Papp from America. Hi, Daisy.
Hi, my dear friend down under. It's good to see you, and it's good to know that we are co-creating another episode of Mindset Evolution Podcast by Bald and Blonde.
Yes. In fact, episode 188, Daisy.
Lovely. Let's go.
Let's do it. So here's a topic that I think is interesting and applies to every human being on the planet. Facing mortality.
Wow, that's a big one.
It is, isn't it?
Well, yes. I have a little bit cynical comment to that. The moment we are born, we're destined to die. Nevertheless, it really applies. And I think it is important that we have a look at it because it may increase the value we give life. Maybe it increases how we approach life. Maybe it increases how we evaluate situations. In one of my books, don't ask me which one it is, I wrote about actually if we would know that the human we are arguing with would be no longer around in a week or so. Is that argument truly relevant? And how relevant is it? And if it is still relevant, why is it that it's still relevant? And it really goes back to accepting people for who they are right here, right now, and not going in and trying to change them because, oh, you will be so fine once I changed you, and then I will be able to love you. And in the meantime, we are missing out on life. And I do believe that at the end, when that last sand corn goes down the hour clock, is that how it's called?
Hourglass.
Hourglass, yes. The hourglass, that I wonder if it's then still relevant or if there is at one point in time that epiphany that, well, that's their life and I appreciate them for who they are and I admire and I respect and I honor their life? Question mark.
I think it's a very pertinent point when you say the moment we're born, we're destined to die. Because if we didn't have that, if we weren't aware that we've got a limited time, it would probably change everything. You know, you see movies where their whole purpose is to try and become immortal, you know, through some crazy science experiment or whatever the movie's about. The point is that there's this search for immortality. But if you never died, I think that takes so much meaning away from life. The very point that we've got a limited time here, I think, is behind what makes us have a drive to achieve something in a limited amount of time. If you had an unlimited amount of time, well, perhaps you wouldn't be bothered as much. Maybe just get a bit lazy about it and not have any sort of self-inspiration because there was just this open-ended lifespan. I think that knowing that you're going to die brings something to the table where we want to have achievements while we're here and why we still have the opportunity to do that. I'm not sure if I explained that very well.
Very interesting how you reflect on that. I wonder then, how is it with children? Children have a different sense of time. They have a different sense of life. And when they are really young and relatively innocent, not so conditioned yet, then they explore because they're eager and they're curious and they forget about time. And it is not about achieving something for the achievement or for the sake of achievement, but for the exploration and the experience and experiment itself. For example, when they build like the wooden blocks, one on top of the other, and then you see the fifth time it still builds it up to here, and then all of a sudden it implodes, that little tower that they built. And then they realize, oh, wow, it was the sleeve of my shirt that actually hit it over. And then there's this huge epiphany in the eye of the child. And then they had a conclusion, they had an epiphany. And then, wow, this is wonderful. And then they build it again with eagerness. So I wonder how much achievement and the achieving willingness or the willingness to achieve or that drive, if that is really so important. I really have questions about human being or human doing. And I go back to Shakespeare. Shakespeare never said to do or not to do. There's all the others who are asking that to do or not to do. He asked to be or not to be. So I wonder if that's really the point, knowing that there's limited time, that, oh, so I must bring so much more into my life. Because it is not the quantities of experiments and experiences, I believe, that make life fulfilled. It is the quality of how much life we had in our life or have in our life.
I think that's an interesting way of looking at it. But I do have to say that with children, everything is new and exciting and wondrous and to be discovered and amazing. Mm. And that is amazing. But my point is that as we become older as adults, and let's just say that we're not immortal, but we're going to live to 1,000 instead of living to 100. Can you not imagine perhaps that somewhere around the 600-year-old mark, we might get a bit jaded and sick of it all? Because I think that if we had unlimited or even 1,000-year lifespan, I think it would change the way we looked at everything, personally. I think that if you can compare, I think the average age probably right now is somewhere between 70 and 80, which is a lot longer than 100 years ago. Mm. We do live longer because we have more technology and a more advanced society than they had, say, 100 years ago, apparently. But we still know that we've got these limited years. Now, if you change that point of view and went, I've got 75 years and I'm 52, so I'm 2/3 of the way through. Mm. Now, that brings some urgency to me as to what I am really passionate about in this life. I want to get on with it. I need to get on with it. I've got 20 years to make my mark and do what I'm passionate about in this world and mm. leave a legacy for my grandchildren. That's how I feel. Mm. If I had 1,000 years to live and I'm 52, well, that's a whole new perspective because now I've still got 950 years. Mm. So maybe I'm not in such a rush. Mm. Maybe I don't have the same urgency. Mm. Maybe I'm not as inspired to get off my butt. Mm. You know what I mean? That's where I'm coming from when I say that.
I hear you. Do you really believe that if someone would live up to 1,000 years and they would remain as curious and excited and wondrous like children, that they would truly be able to find out about everything and anything and all the things that exist on Earth? And do you really believe if they would keep that curiosity alive and that excitement and that wonder and that awe, that it would ever get truly boring? Do you really believe that? I have a hard time believing that.
I think it's an interesting question because I think that perhaps some people would stay that way. But I don't think everybody would. I think that's the nature of human beings and our different personalities. Mm-hmm. I would like to hear what our audience thinks. So whether you're watching us on video or whether you're listening on the podcast, how about telling us what you think? Would life be seen differently through your eyes if you were to live to 1,000 and let's just say instead of 100? What would change for you in the way you looked at things and the way you went about your life if you had 10 times longer to live? I think it's a fascinating question. Mm. And I would really love to hear some of our listeners or viewers chime in on this. In fact, this topic was actually suggested by one of our listeners. So yeah, it's an interesting question. I think that your thought that we would remain wondrous and curious and inspired is a beautiful thought. I really do. And it would be lovely if everybody were like that. I'm just not sure they are. I think that there's people here who are already jaded at my age, but maybe that's because of how we've built our societies today. Mm. Maybe our societies would be completely different if we all lived to 1,000 years old. Mm. Maybe what is important to us would completely change. Mm. Just with that perspective yeah. of so much longer to live. And that's what really makes this interesting, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, nevertheless, when the topic is facing mortality, if you face it at 100 or at 1,000, it's still we are facing it. And I think it is a good idea to also have a very simple picture drawn in our own minds about a simple rule in physics, that energy can be steered and can be transformed, but cannot be deleted or stopped. So when that is the case, and I'm not even questioning in this episode where we come from, that's a total different conversation to have. But when energy, and we are energy, yeah, molecules and atoms and the intercellular space, which is actually much, much more than if we would put all the atoms together, we would be like a size of a cubic centimeter or something. I listened to one of the scientists who approached it that way. But when the energy is not stoppable and when the energy is not able to be deleted, so then what happens with who I really am? Now, when we close our eyes for a moment, not you if you're driving. So the drivers out there who listen to the podcast while they're driving, please keep your eyes open. But all the others, close your eyes for a moment and imagine yourself being at a ski slope or sitting on a horse or swimming with a dolphin or maybe being with loved ones on an island or on a cruise or jetting around the world or visiting the pyramids in Egypt or going other places that are really exciting to you. And can you imagine yourself being there? Can you see you there? And then now when you open your eyes, you notice that you're still here where you were sitting or standing or laying while you were going elsewhere. So who is the one who went elsewhere? Who is that? Because I saw physically, I peeked a little bit, that I saw that in the meantime, you went places, you were still here. So then the question is, if we are so much more than our physical body, is it really that we're facing mortality or is it maybe just that we are facing the mortality of the physical home, our body? In this lifetime. And that opens up, I think, a gigantic new galaxy of thoughts. And then again, the question is, isn't it honorable to honor one's life, my own, and I honor yours?
Tell us what you mean by honorable.
When I honor your life, I'm not going to take it away or diminish it or make it miserable. That is what it means to me. And when we look at the quantity of humans on this planet, the majority of us want peace. The majority of us want to get along to a degree. We don't need to be best friends if it's not compatible, but we can still respect and honor one another's lives and living and let live. And that gives me so much hope. And I understand that in the word hope, I combine it with fear because there is a little bit uncertainty in it. I admit to that. But I'm an idealist when it comes to that. And I believe in the good that's possible. And when we start focusing on that, and maybe to some degree, it helps us to face mortality because then we cannot hug our loved ones anymore, or we cannot tell them the way we are used to communicate. When we cannot hold hands of the ones that are really dear to us, when we cannot gently touch them in their face. And okay, so what if your life lasted another 2 minutes? What's really important to you? Maybe it helps us find out what's really significant. What is something that is a passion of ours? What is something that is on the long list of procrastination?
That's what I was trying to explain earlier. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, and then now the question is, when there is a long list of procrastination, and what if we would just start working it step by step, by item, number by number, and just go to it and do not wait for the last minute.
Yes. And now, guys, how to eat an elephant would be the episode to look for there.
Do you know what number that is?
I would need to look the number up. But if they just search elephant on our website, yes, they'll find it.
They find it. Yeah. So then the question is, with that facing mortality, if it's possible to increase the quality of our life. The thing of it is, even a person who is facing some physical challenges and health challenges, even they cannot possibly know how long or for how much longer they will be here. Then isn't it a call for all of us to increase the quality? Let's get over with the undone things. When there is an apology to make, go and do it, because you will feel lighter. Because again, I'm circling back to the last sand corn in the hour clock. No, that's not what it is. What is it? Sand clock?
Hourglass.
Hourglass, yes. In German language, it's called Sanduhr. Sand clock.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's what it is. Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. So because we don't know how many sand corns we have left in our upper part of that hourglass, I got it right this time. Wow. So I'm teachable and I'm learning. Good. So then the question is, if that may increase in one way or the other, in one shape or the other, my quality of life. Because how often do we hear people, oh yeah, that was a waste of time. I wasted so much time with that. I wasted so much time being angry. I wasted so much time not reconciling with someone. But again, you cannot waste time. You fill it. But the question is, with what do you fill it? And then because we are all facing mortality, and it's not an easy facing that's going on there, because there's so much to do. When I look on my big passion and on my big visions, I think I need another 250 years to accomplish that when I go by the speed that life is showing me opportunities nowadays. So I need some help here, I think, some tailwind, I think. So then it is concerning to me. So there's so many things that are still in my head that must be out there to leave it behind for future generations. That is why I'm working so unstoppably on things, because I don't know how the sand mound is or how many sand corns I still have left. That is why I like to go to sleep with a sense of, okay, I did the best what I could do today, and I did at least as many things as I could, and maybe another two or another five. And I wish to go to bed and go to sleep with a peaceful mind and a peaceful heart, because I don't know if I'm going to wake up.
Yeah, I agree with all of what you just said, and I have the same beliefs. And I think that having a limited amount of time certainly creates at least some sense of, if I want to accomplish something, then I need to get on with it and stop procrastinating. I think we're all guilty of procrastination at some point. I'm pretty sure we've done an episode on that too. Back to facing mortality and what you said about energy. Now, that's really interesting. I think our listeners will be fascinated by that. I agree with that too, that, well, I think it's a law of physics, so we can't probably not agree with the fact that energy doesn't end. It only transforms or changes form, or it still exists somehow. And at the end of the day, I agree that we are forms of energy. And in my belief system, we're here in our earth bodies for a specific amount of time to achieve something, whether that's something little or something big, makes no difference. Mm. And I personally believe that the energy shift will go into our next soul's journey, wherever that may be. I personally believe you keep coming back to earth until you learn what you're meant to learn, but that's not the only way of thinking, and I'm quite aware of that. We're all entitled to our own belief systems.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't change the fact that energy does not end. That is a fact. And so that does open up a whole wondrous world of what ifs and what happens after this, and the level of uncertainty, because we don't know what happens, is what creates the fear around mortality. And I think as you get older, perhaps you feel that more, because you feel like you're closer to that point. And I'm certainly feeling closer to it at 51 than I felt in my 20s when you feel invincible, like your life's never going to end. I don't even think you think about it when you're that young. You certainly start thinking about it as you do get older, not necessarily in a nihilistic or bad way, not for me anyway. I think about it as now I'm older, I get to enjoy different things than when I was younger. Like now I have a grandchild, which is one of the most amazing experiences of my life so far. And I look forward to more of that and maybe even great-grandkids one day. From a family perspective, it's been wonderful seeing my son grow into a man and be a father and have his own family. And personally, I've now been in my profession for over 20 years with these things that we do for long periods, we grow this wisdom as well. And I think that's an amazing part of getting older, that you see things differently, you process things differently, you act differently, you influence the people around you differently. And I think the sense of mortality does help with that in the way that we know that we've got a limited amount of time and we're more aware of it as we get older. So we're perhaps more aware of making the right kind of impact than we were when we were younger, when it was more about ourselves. And that's how I feel about it.
Well, it's interesting. Like at 22, you felt invincible. I experienced that time very differently because my brother was 24 when he passed tragically in a plane crash. And when I was 23, I was really not looking forward to the 24th birthday of mine because it was so unnatural to turn 24. And then from 24 to 25, when then I became older based on my age than my brother ever got, although he was 7 years older than I. That was a very weird energy, a very weird time. And then when I got to the age of my father, when he passed, he was 37. My mother was 48 when she passed. So that's very interesting that I passed these years and now I'm older than them. And that is somewhat unnatural. But again, I can control the meaning I give that. And I can give it the meaning, oh, yes, I outlived them. And then it makes me feel like that. Or I can say, well, there is still some things to do and I'm here for a purpose. So get on and let's do it. So then again, it depends on what I do with it. Back to facing mortality. I think there can be a gift in that fact that we can see, okay, what quality in my life do I want to have more of? What qualities in my life do I want to have less of? Or maybe none of, and maybe it helps us all to reevaluate what's really important and focus on that. And yes, educate yourself and expand and explore and become wiser and achieve that wisdom. Wisdom to me are lessons learned, applied. That's my definition of wisdom. And again, has not to do with the number of age that we reached. But I think it is healthy to think of it, okay, so the time is limited. And what am I doing on an everyday basis with the 70,000 thoughts I have on a daily basis, with the 24 hours I have a day, with the 60 minutes I have per hour, with the 60 seconds I have per minute? What am I putting in action? And what is it that I'm there for with my energy putting out there? Because again, when energy cannot be stopped or deleted, then everything I think, everything I do has an impact on everything else in the world, right? And I think when we all become a little bit more aware of that and create that peace that's there to be created within so we can bring it into the outside world, maybe that is the real value in the fact of facing mortality.
Yeah, I like that thought. And I completely relate to what you said about your family. My dad was 46 when he passed. And so passing that age for me was actually quite a big deal.
I completely
get that. Yeah, it is. And when parts of your family members or people you're close to die at a young age, it is devastating. But one thing I have come to believe over my lifetime is in this energy change. I don't believe they're just gone. I believe they've changed energy and they're on their next journey, wherever and however that happens. Yeah. I have ideas about that, but of course I'm not really sure. There's plenty of people who've had near-death experiences that are fascinating to read. Mm-hmm. And their interpretations are fascinating, and it's a whole very interesting subject. But for this topic right here, I have faced that question as well when I turned 47, a year older than my father was. And when you reach that age and you go, geez, 46 was such a young age to die.
Yeah.
And now I'm 47. Well, I'm still here and I need to figure it out what it is I want to impact the world with and get on with it. Mm. That was how I started thinking about it. And of course, my 40s was very much a transformation decade for me. Mm. And so that was definitely part of it. So yeah, it's a big question. And I think thinking about it is good for all of us because it helps us figure out our belief systems, figure out who we want to be while we're here, figure out how we want to impact the people around us. And I do think that if we didn't have the 100-year mortality mark and have the 1,000-year mortality mark, we'd all be very different. And so I still want to make sure our listeners and viewers reach out and tell us what they think about that. I think it's super fascinating. I'd love to hear other people's point of view. This has been such an amazing topic. Thank you to, I'm going to call him out. Thank you to Carlos, our listener who suggested it, because I think this is going to be one of our best episodes. And we've got to 30 minutes without me really even looking at the time. Usually I'm keeping an eye on it the whole time and I've just realized we've hit our mark. So that's it for today. Please reach out to us. You can contact us by email at ask@baldandblonde.live. You can jump to the website and use the contact form, or you can find us on our platforms. We're on Facebook, we're on Telegram, we're on Rumble, we're on YouTube. You can find us. We're pretty easy to find. Just Google Bald and Blonde podcast and you'll find us somewhere. Reach out and let us know, or put it in the comments under this video, what you think about living to 1,000 instead of living to 100 and how that would make a difference in how you view life. Fascinating question. Any final thoughts, Daisy, before we close down today's episode?
Well, thank you for the episode idea. I appreciate our listeners brought that up. I think that because we don't know, and I'm going back to the hourglass. Ah, it is just so unnatural for me to call it hourglass, that maybe it's a good idea to also take away a little bit the pressure from ourselves, off of ourselves. Oh, but there's so much still to do. There's so much still I want to achieve. There's so much still I want to visit and I want to create or generate or produce. Slow down. And I truly believe it is about quality. And when I speak to elderly people, they're so grateful for having had a good life. And they look back at some of their biggest challenges and they no longer appear so big as they appeared at the moment. And treat one another. I think that is a very important part, that we start treating one another, because the next moment is not granted. And when it is granted, then we can be grateful for it. That's how I see it today. Make the best out of everything, of all the opportunities, and get away of all that conditioning and discover again your curiosity and that childlike wonder and awe in the beauty that is there to be found at every single moment in every situation.
Yeah, great. And I'm going to add, I think the answer is love. Love.
Oh, yes.
Love people around you.
Love is the answer.
I love it. For our listeners, Daisy has a cup that says love equals the answer. Yes, love the people around you. Appreciate them. Cherish them.
Yes.
Because you don't know how long you have.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure almost everybody's experienced that at some point, which actually leads me to one tiny thing that we forgot,
which is,
and I'll refer people back to our Drama Queen episode, that when you're in the middle of something that you think is insurmountable or emotional or overwhelming or aggravating, ask yourself, is it life or death?
Yeah.
Because usually it's not going to be. And that's a really important way to look at things as well, so that we don't go over the top and
I agree.
Blow things out of proportion. Mm. So we will refer you back to Drama Queen. I think we did Mountains Out of Molehills.
We've done
so many episodes that relate to all of these things. We hope you go and listen to the whole library, because we have had such an amazing time creating them all for you that we really wish that everybody who can gets to hear our work, because these are just things that we've experienced and we've learned, and we want to share it with as many people as we can, because we believe that experience is powerful and we can help each other through.
Absolutely.
The ups and downs of life. Mm-hmm. So that's it from us. We'll be back real soon with another episode every week, of course, without fail. We are Bold and Blonde.
Mindset Evolution. Talk to you next time. Thank you for listening in to the Bold and Blonde Mindset Evolution podcast. Please share our show with your family and friends. Together, we make this world a better place for you, for us, for future generations. When you need consulting or coaching, visit selfrecoding.com. Also, please remember to rate us 5 stars and leave a review, and support us at baldandblonde.live. Talk to you soon.